All right. I want to spend some time with our kids this morning. It's Family Sunday, so we've got some kids in the service. So I'm going to invite the children to come down front with me. We've got something special to do. Give me your children. Now, you can sit on the floor. That's probably the best place for you. How about you sit right here on the floor, and I'll talk to you from here. Hi, friends. Perfect. Yes. Who else have I got? Here they come. Hi. Yes. Last service, I had two kids. So today, I'm glad to see more than that this morning. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, friends. Do you guys have any collections? Do you collect any? What do you collect, Madeline? Pokemon cards. Okay. Anybody else collect? You collect rocks? Awesome. Do you have a lot of rocks? You also collect Pokemon cards. And you do too?
I collect rocks and shells.
Rocks and shells. Okay, I love that. Do you collect anything? You collect rocks, too. I love it. Do you know what? My husband, his name is Jason, and he's way up there in that sound booth. Can you look back and wave and say, hi, Jason?
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason. Jason collects flashlights. Do you guys like flashlights?
Yes.
Okay. I want to show you some really awesome flashlights. I'm telling you, he might be a little bit obsessed with flashlights. I'll get a package on the porch, and I'm like, oh, what is it? He's like, I ordered another flashlight. So I brought some of his collection. This is not all of it, but it's some. So we're going to look, he's got them arranged for us. They're like little to big. I'm going to save this one for last. It's really bright. So I'm going to show you a few. I'm going to get them out. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to let you play with them for just a second. And if you're going to shine them, can you make sure you shine them at the floor so nobody's eyes get, or that, but not in anybody's face, okay? You can just check them out for a minute. Some of them are a little bit tricky to figure out how to turn on, so if you can't, I can maybe help you. I don't know. I can't always figure it out either. Ooh, yeah, shine it down. Good job. Not in your eyes. Is yours not working? Maybe hold it down. Ah, point it down. Look, he's got headlamps, too. You ever seen a headlamp before?
Yeah.
Yeah, he works in a lot of, like, I'll mess up my hair and my microphone and all that, but, you know, your dad has one, too? Yeah. Like a GoPro, except it's a light. Yeah, he works in sometimes not the most convenient spaces to hold a light. He works like in attics and under stages and stuff like that. And so he might need his hands available. So what do you notice about these lights? They shine light. Yeah, they might look different, but they all shine a light. Let me show you this one. This one's pretty cool. Look what it can do. So it can change colors a little bit. This is called color temperature. So that's like a really cold temperature because it's kind of blue. That's like a warmer temperature. See that? So that changes color temperature. Look at this one. What color is that?
Orange.
You know what? At first service, this was teal. So this one can change colors. That was a surprise. This one changes color. And it's also square, not circle like the other ones are. Very neat. Okay, let me show you this one. This one is new. This one's got a whole big charger situated, like a battery pack. I'm afraid to turn. No, it's too bright for you. It's too bright. I don't want to blind anybody. If anybody has light sensitivity, just, you know, close your eyes. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to show you. This one is really, really bright. So here's the thing. If I turn it on, can you promise me you're not going to look directly at it? Okay, I'm going to, like, keep my hands in front of it to, like, protect you a little bit, okay? Because it starts off, like, okay, I forgot. It starts where it ended. So it's real bright. I looked right at it. Okay, so it starts just kind of like regular. Like, see how it's kind of soft? But then watch this. Watch this. Whoa.
Oh my.
I know. Can you even? Look, friends, it's super bright. It's so bright. Okay, I'm going to turn it back down and then turn it off. Did I do that right? I hope I did. Okay, so these are the flashlights. Can I collect these back from you for a minute? We're going to talk for just a second. Are they off? Oops. Okay, and this one. And this one. Do you like flashlights? Did you ever play flashlight tag? Uh-oh. Hold down. Yep. They're so fancy. He's so technical with these things. And I'm like, I need to turn it on and turn it off. Okay. So now how are we going to talk about Jesus after we talk about flashlights? Let's find out. So let me ask you a question. So Brendan already told me they all shine light. So that's what they all had in common. Why do you think light is important? Why is it important that we have light? It is like God's glory. Well, we're just going to jump right to it. Why do you think it's important to have like lights turned on in the building?
Because you can't see.
Yeah, lot. We wouldn't be able to see if we didn't have lights on. We got to see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If not, I would trip on everything. Would you trip? Do you see well in the dark? I don't.
Yeah, I would trip on.
I see kind of.
You see kind of well, and not me. I don't do great in the dark. So I want to read you something. So the Bible tells us, hey, listen for a second. Listen for a second. The Bible tells us that God is like a light. He gets rid of the darkness in our life, which is sin. Do you guys know what sin means?
No.
Yes.
What does it mean, Brendan?
It means like, don't do what's right.
When you don't do what's right, yeah. Did you have another thought?
You do something bad.
Yeah, something bad, yeah. Anything that falls short of what God wants for your life, right? When you disobey his rules, yeah, or you hurt somebody or you're mean to somebody, all of that is sin, and we're going to call that darkness. And so God's light helps get rid of the darkness in our life. And some people, even when the lights in the building are on, they're still in the dark because they don't know God. Did you know that? And they still have sin in their life and they don't know about God. But I'm going to read you something from the Bible. This is from Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So I want to show you this flashlight. Let's see if I can get this one on. Yep. Okay. So
dim.
It's kind of dim. You're right. So we're going to talk about what that Bible verse said. So it said, he's talking to people. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? You are the light of the world. I thought God was light. How can you be light? Do you know why? Why? Yeah, you're a child of God. That's right. He lives in your heart. And when God is inside of you, you can shine his light out just like he can shine his light. It's like how a flashlight has a battery inside of it. If it didn't have that battery, it couldn't shine, right?
Yeah.
When we have God's power inside of us, we can shine God's light for other people. Now, this part says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand for all to see. So if we have a flashlight and we put the battery in it, and we turn the light on, is it useful if I cover it up?
No.
No. Well, that's not doing anything.
It's
just dark again. Yeah, there's still darkness. So if we have light, and we have God's light inside of us, he wants us to shine. He wants us to shine like a flashlight. So we're supposed to put his love on display for other people to see. And he says, in the same way, let your light shine for others so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you know what a good deed is? What?
Being good whenever no one's watching.
Yeah, that's like integrity. That's right. Being good when no one's watching. Great job. When you do nice things for other people or you're kind, that's a good deed. So when people see your good deeds and you're doing it because you have God's light in you, do you know that they will praise God because of that? They will. You'll shine God's light and they'll be able to see your good deeds. And it's not about you. Did you hear in that song? They said, it's all about Christ. It's not about me. So when we do good things and we point people to Christ and we don't do it because of ourselves, we do it because of Christ, they'll come to know him too. And that's how we can shine God's light in the world. I'm going to give you something that you can take back to your seats with you. I know, I have a little treat, a little present. It's not a treat, it's not food, but it's a little gift. Almost. It's a little light. Look. Do you know how to turn these on?
Yeah, I know.
Can you help each other turn them on? Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah, turn the little switch on the bottom. You can take that little light back to your seat with you to remind you that you have God's light inside of you and you can shine God's light for other people. There you go. And it doesn't matter how big you are or how small you are, we all have the same power of God inside of us to shine in the world. Great job. Oh, weren't they sweet? Now I'll come up here where you can see my face again. Pray for me this week, guys. I'm running on like no sleep. VBS is awesome, but it's a lot of work. It's true. It's true. So all this week at VBS, we are going to be focusing on God's light and how his light shines into the world, and how we can shine his light to other people. So if you've ever studied anything about light, you might know that there are different colors of light based on different wavelengths. And I don't know much more than that about light science, but I do know this. White light, which is the light that shines from the sun and the light that shines from fluorescent bulbs and LED bulbs. Give it up for Jason and all his light work. Good job, Jason. Proud, proud, proud. So white light is actually made up of all the different colors of the light spectrum. It's like a big mashup of light. And when they all come together, it shines white. And if you shine white light through a prism, you know those glass, I meant to bring one to show, but it's in my office. If you shine light through a prism, it actually breaks that light back apart and you can see the full spectrum. It bends the light and you can see the rainbow. So it shows a rainbow if you shine through a prism. It separates the wavelengths and shows all the colors inside. Well, God's light is an all-encompassing light, just like white light is. It's made up of all different aspects of his glory. Now, if we look fully in the face of God's glory, it's not going to turn out well for us. Just like looking in that super bright light was not good for our eyes, looking directly at God's light is not safe for us. It's too much for us to handle. But God is gracious to us, and he gives us kind of like a prism in which to view his light. So we can filter God's light through the Word, through the Bible, to see all the different colors of God's light and what it looks like. So this week in VBS, we're going to be talking about four different aspects of God's light. And there are a bunch of them, but this week we're going to look at four. The lights of love, trust, faith, and hope. So those are our four themes for each day of VBS. We'll be looking through the lens of the Bible to see examples of where these different colors of God's light shows up and how it shows up. And I'm going to run you through them real quick. We see evidence of God's light of love through the story of creation. God is love, and everything he makes is out of love. The light of trust is illustrated through the story of Moses and the burning bush. God proved that he's trustworthy, and that he would help Moses do more than he could ever do on his own. We see the light of faith in the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. The man's friends had faith that Jesus would heal him, and Jesus not only proved that he was faithful by healing the man's physical needs, but he also, by faith, healed him from his sin. And finally, we see the light of hope in Jesus' resurrection. Defeating sin and death and rising up from the grave shows that Jesus is the only hope that we need for eternal life. So we're going to hover here on the idea of God's light for a little bit. God is light. Now, this is one of those mysterious ideas that we can't always wrap our minds around. And I tell kids this too, and I'm going to tell you too, grown-ups, those things about God are okay. It's okay that we don't understand all the aspects of God, because if God was understandable, he wouldn't be God. Right? He wouldn't be holy. He wouldn't be worthy of our worship. So when I hear these hard things, it reminds me that's what makes God God, and that's why I'm just me. Okay? So we're going to talk about light. God is supernatural. He's outside of our understanding. And when we know about all these wonderful aspects of God, it increases our reason to worship. And part of who God is light. So the Bible shows us that God's light is a spiritual light. It's like the age-old metaphor of dark versus light, where light represents goodness, purity, and righteousness, and darkness represents sin, wickedness, and evil. We see this idea all the time. Books, movies, all of it. Where are my Star Wars fans at? Anybody like Star Wars? Yeah, you know, the dark side, right? Yeah. So God, in the spiritual realm, God is light. He is goodness, and he is righteousness. In him, there is no darkness at all. And God's spiritual light is comforting because our world is filled with darkness. Sin reigns in the world. Scary, evil things happen all around us. Just think back through the news stories in the last couple weeks. It's been pretty dark, pretty dark. Sin is everywhere. The fallen world is filled with darkness, and we need light. In the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, after Jesus tells Nicodemus that eternal life comes from believing in God's one and only Son, Jesus tells him this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. God's light exposes evil for what it is by illuminating it with hope and truth. Darkness is scary. Anybody here afraid of the dark? I am sometimes. I try to act like I'm not, but I think I am a little bit. I want to show you this book. This is Bedtime for Francis. This is a book that we read at bedtime sometimes. Francis is a badger, I think. I think she's a badger. And she's a kid. And she's a badger. And she's trying to go to bed. They've done all their routine. It's time for bed. You know, it's 7 o'clock. You know, she's got her milk. She's got her dolly. She's in the bed. And anyway, so she gets to her room and she's laying in her bed. And father kisses her and mother kisses her. And she walks out the door. She wants her door open. She sings her little song. And then she can't fall asleep. And at first, Frances can't fall asleep because she's a kid and that's hard sometimes. She's just laying there and her mind is wandering and she just can't settle down. But then the darkness starts to get to Frances. It plays tricks on her. All of a sudden, she thinks there's a giant in the corner of her room and she's really scared. But after she talks to her parents and she investigates a little bit more, she discovers it's not a giant. It's just a chair and her bathrobe's laying on top of it. Not a giant. She's safe. She's good to go. But then there's a crack in her ceiling and she's just sure the creepy, scary things are going to come out of that crack and there's no way she can sleep. And she goes and gets her dad. But her dad tells her the truth. Francis, that crack is so tiny. Nothing is coming through that crack. You're safe. Okay, she tries again. Oh no, she hears something at the window. The curtains are moving. There's bumps and thumps. She is sure somebody's out there. Somebody's going to get her. No. She looks closer and it's just a moth. Just a moth at her window, just doing what moths do, just bumping and thumping their wings. She's fine. The more Frances lingers in the darkness, the more her mind plays tricks on her and convinces her that all the evil things are out to get her. But when the dark things are exposed for what they really are, she sees the truth. And she's no longer scared. She sees the truth. Eventually, Frances falls asleep. God's spiritual light reveals the truth. His light is hope that we need to know that evil will not win and goodness will prevail. So whatever darkness you're going through, know that God's light will prevail. It will reveal the truth and it will give you hope to prevail through the darkness. The Bible also tells us that God's light is a literal light. I think this part is really cool. We see in the Bible that when people experience God's full glory, there's a bright, radiant light. Now, it may not be exactly like the light that we understand with our own eyes, but there's a radiance about God's presence. We see this with Moses in Exodus chapters 33 and 34. Moses spends time with God, and Moses asks God to show him his face. He's like, God, I just want to see your face. But God says, no, that's not a great idea. Because no one who sees the face of God will live. But he does allow Moses to experience his glory. So he's going to pass by Moses so that he can see the backside of him and experience God's glory. So God says, come up on this rock with me. And I'm going to pass by, but I'm going to protect you. I'm going to put you in this little cleft over here. And when I walk by, I'll put my hand over you so that you don't see my face. But then I'm going to walk by. So Moses sees the back of God. And God even audibly says his own name out loud. That sounds like the coolest experience. Can you just imagine seeing the physical appearance of God walk by and hearing him speak out loud his own name? I wish I was there. I agree. I wish I was there. So after Moses experiences God's glory, he and God hang out on the mountain together for another 40 days. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, after spending so much time in God's presence, his face is glowing. The people around him are scared of Moses because his face is glowing. And they're like, Moses, you got to cover that up. So they're like, please put this veil over your face because this is too much. I can't be around you with this glowing face. So whatever happened up there between God and Moses was so radiant and full of light that it was even coming out of Moses' face. I know, I'm telling you, it's cool stuff. Another example of God's radiant light is when Jesus showed his glory in front of three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. We call this moment the transfiguration. That's a word we talked about in children's ministry not too long ago. Because Jesus' appearance physically changed. This is from Matthew 17, 2 through 7. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." The literal light of God showed up in Jesus' face and his clothes. And the cloud that God the Father came down in was bright. There's a literal light to God. We all will witness God's full glory when we get to heaven. As John describes what heaven looks like in the book of Revelation, here's what he says about God's light. The city of heaven, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So the bright glory of God is enough to light up all of heaven. Can you even imagine a brightness that would light up not just a building, but all of heaven for all eternity? When I was editing my sermon last night, I really wanted to put some kind of joke here about, like, I don't know, energy efficiency or the power bill, but I couldn't quite work it out. So if you've got one for me, you just hit me up afterwards, okay? Maybe I'll have one for next service. I couldn't make it work. So you're welcome. But in heaven, when we are completely surrounded by God's pure light, all will be revealed, and we will be able to know God the way that he knows us. Light reveals truth, right? And won't it be awesome to witness God's truth face to face? So what we learn from these examples, and one more that I'm about to share with you, is that once we experience God's light, it changes us. God's light changes you. With Moses, it was a physical change, right? His face was glowing, and people were afraid. He was visibly different after spending time with God. In the story of the Transfiguration, the disciples were awestruck and afraid. Their experience with God's light changed them emotionally. Peter, he's probably my favorite disciple. He makes all these impulsive decisions and just says things and does things. And you're like, "Peter, okay, you'll figure it out. Come on, you'll figure it out." So Peter is like, "Jesus, this is so cool. I'm so glad we're here. Listen, I can build you a house. I can build one for Moses and Elijah too. Would that be okay?" And then here comes God. And Peter's like, "Ah!" And he like jumps to the ground. So it like really affected Peter being in the presence of God's light and James and John. And probably the most famous story of someone being changed by God's light is when Saul is blinded by Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, Saul was the definition of a bad guy, right? He was definitely on the dark side. He's like, "My Darth Vader. They hate me for that." Sorry. So Paul was out here persecuting Christians. Now, my kids, do you remember what persecution means? What's it mean? What? Yeah, yeah, getting hurt or beat up or going to jail or something. Yeah, unjustly. That's right. So he was out here persecuting Christians. He was on his way to the city of Damascus to round up all the followers of Jesus and take them back to Jerusalem in chains. He wanted them in chains. He did not want them out there spreading the good news. So we're going to read from Acts 9, 3 through 9. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. Saul encounters Jesus in the form of light and sound. I think I've heard this story I couldn't even count how many times. I grew up in the church. I've been probably 5 million times. I think it wasn't until my adulthood that I realized the light that Paul experienced was Jesus. Like, it was Jesus. I just thought it was the sun or something. I don't know. But it was Jesus in the form of light and sound. So that radiance of Jesus was enough to blind Saul. The physical encounter prompted an overwhelmingly spiritual change in Saul. He becomes completely a new person. He abandons all his prior beliefs that Christians are the bad guys, right? And he becomes the Paul that we know throughout the rest of the New Testament, a most influential leader probably in all Christianity besides Jesus. Paul's experience with Jesus led him to changing both his heart and his actions. He went from a life of darkness to a life of worship and an urgent desire and call to spread God's light to others. Now, during VBS this week, as we explore and discover God's light, we will also learn what it means to respond to the calling to shine God's light to others. And we have a signal verse. It's like a memory verse. This will be our signal verse for the week. It comes from Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. This verse is our call to action. Once you've experienced God's light, you have a responsibility and a gift of being able to share that light with other people. Now, if you're taking notes in your program, it's okay if you're not. I didn't put any fill in the blanks this week. But if you notice the title, it says Rise and Shine, not Arise and Shine. And that's not a misprint. I did that on purpose. First of all, because it's catchier. Rise and shine, it's a thing people say. But also because there's a difference between the word rise and arise, and I think it's significant enough to talk about. So rise is to physically come up from something. We all know this. Bread rises, we rise up when we're about to stand up and sing, you know, rising, to come up. To arise is to emerge or become. It's different. It's not a movement, it's a becoming. And there's a place for both of these words as we approach how we respond to God's light. There's the rise response, which is physical movement, things to get up and do in order to shine God's light. But there's also the arise response, the becoming of one who shines God's light in the world, embodying what it means to be a reflection of God's glory. The arise response is complete and total life change. Ephesians 5:8 puts it this way. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children of light. It's a whole new identity based on having experienced God's glory. Maybe not his full glory, right? Because that wouldn't work out so well for us. But once you've experienced the goodness and the righteousness, the hope of the gospel, that glory, you will never be the same. You embody the light, and it becomes part of who you are. But here's where I want to point out a very important detail between arising and rising in response to God's light. We are called to shine God's light, not absorb it, right? This is not like a sunbathing situation where we're just going to soak in God's goodness and just mind our business and just rest in his glory forever and ever and ever. No, this is more of a flashlight situation. We got to shine. Once we've got that power inside of us, we have to push the button and we have to share the light with other people. There will be plenty of time for that absorbing and that sunbathing once we get to heaven, right? We have all eternity to revel in the fullness of God's glory. But while we're here on earth, we have a mission to accomplish, right? God's desire is to make his glory known to the world through us. Jesus said, go make disciples. He did not say, slap on some baby oil and just soak in these rays. He did not say that. He said, no, we've got work to do. So let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. These are active words. Good deeds mean you're out there doing something, right? Quiet study and reflection has its place, but it's not the complete picture of what it means to follow Jesus. The rise response to God's light looks like a life of worship. And remember, worship isn't just singing. Worship is responding to God's greatness. In kids ministry, we say celebrating God's greatness. Worship is doing whatever it is that you're doing and giving God the glory and the credit for it because of his greatness. Paul writes about this kind of worship in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Being a living sacrifice means that what you do is not about you. It's for God, putting him first in all things. Living a life that is so changed by Jesus that others notice. They notice that you're different. People should be able to see the evidence of God's glory in you. Maybe not shining out of your face like Moses, but in the way that you show up in the world as one whose very life is an act of worship. And if you need help understanding this concept of living a life of worship, let me give you some examples and see where you might identify with these examples. Because of God's glory, I sing. Because of God's glory, I create. Because of God's glory, I give generously. Because of God's glory, I am kind. Because of God's glory, I put others' needs above my own. Because of God's glory, I treat my family well. Because of God's glory, I serve in children's ministry. Shameless plug, it's okay. But if you ask anyone on my team, they'll say, it's an act of worship, 100%, to serve with the kids. And it reaps a multitude of blessings. But let me keep going. Because of God's glory, I perform well at work or school. Because of God's glory, I pursue excellence in all things. Because of God's glory, I embrace hospitality. Because of God's glory, I take care of the earth. Because of God's glory, I tell my friends about Jesus. Any number of these activities or more can look like worship if you do it out of a response to God's greatness as a reflection of his light shining out in the world for others to see. You can live a life full of worship that shows God's light to other people. Now we're about to move into our time of communion, and each week we take communion as an act of worship too. Now because of God's glory, we eat the bread and we drink the juice, and we remember his sacrifice for us on the cross. We take time to do this so that we can align our hearts back with God and reflect on his forgiveness, his grace, and his glory. Any parents here, this is a time for you to model for your kids what it looks like to take communion as an act of worship, to answer any questions they may have about it, and to share in the act with them if they're ready. Use this time to pray, too. If you need to come up to the front, we have ministers ready to pray with you. If you've experienced God's glory and you're ready to make a decision today for Christ, whether it's to follow his ways and accept him as Lord of your life or to be baptized, we're here to help you walk through that as well. Will you pray with me? God, your glory is amazing. We don't have enough words to describe your goodness and your light. We have to put our own metaphors and terms to it, God. We have to compare it to darkness. You're bigger than us, and that's worthy of our worship. God, I pray that what we do today and every day and all the things that we do, Lord, that we're just a reflection of you into the world. I pray that even our comings and goings, our mundane aspects of our daily life can be worship to you because of your glory, because of who you are, because of how great you are. We are who we are in the world. God, I pray that this morning, if anyone doesn't know your light, if they haven't experienced it, or if they're just in the darkness, Lord, that you would just reveal your truth to them. Make your light known in their life. Let them see the hope that they can have in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.